the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Dropped it back to Wennberg. He's protecting it against Tippett there in the corner, but Tippett fighting for it pretty hard. Wennberg worked it free. Sent back to the point by Goodrow to CeCe to Thrawn toward the front of the net. Score! Barkley Goodrow, side of the net, jams it home. What a job by the Sharks to keep the puck in play, and it's sent toward the front of the net. This game is tied 3-3. Barkley Goodrow with his first goal since opening game against St. Louis, and what a goal it is against the Flyers.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we fought hard to, obviously you don't want to, you know, dig yourself a hole like that to begin with, but, you know, once we were there, I thought we fought hard to get it back, and, you know, obviously would have liked that extra point, but, you know, I think we did a good job in getting into overtime.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? We are waking up with a point out of last night's game, which was not a given, considering they were down 3-0 in this game, and it didn't really look like the Sharks were playing anything close to a good enough game for the first 35 minutes to walk away with anything out of that game. Then suddenly, it was a Barkley Goodrow fight. Suddenly, it was a couple of goals, and then suddenly the Sharks had life and kept on pushing through the end of the game and somehow walked away with a point out of last night's game. And I think that the one thing that I'm looking at is that if there's any circumstance to what I would say is an average team in the NHL or just a team that's not in a rebuild in the NHL, is that if you're on the second night of a back-to-back and you fall behind by a goal or two on the road, not that I'm in love with it, but I would say that that's a situation where it's relatively acceptable, where you look at the circumstances coming in, where they got a win the night before and they're going to be on short rest. You know, they're going to be tired early on. It's relatively understandable that the Sharks fall behind in that game. And I think if you compare that to what we've seen from them as of late, they haven't fallen behind by multiple goals since that game against Utah. This was another instance where the Sharks are looking more like a normal team in the NHL. And I know that's a little bit weird to look at it that way, but it's true. If you're on the second night of a back-to-back, you might fall behind early on the road. And that's not quote-unquote acceptable, but it's understandable to a greater extent than what we've seen previously with the Sharks. And they have been able to manage things better overall as a team, because even in last night's game, they get behind 2-0. It doesn't get particularly worse. Yes, they give up the 3-0 goal, but the game had opportunities to get worse. The game had opportunities to get more out of hand, and San Jose didn't let it. And they also didn't stop fighting once they were down 3-0 and watch the game get away from them further. They kept themselves in it. You had the early fight from Giovanni Smith, in which he got into it with the goal scorer, Eric Johnson, and kept on, you know, just kind of showing, hey, we have life early on. I'm going to try and get our team back into it. And then Barkley Goodrow gets into a fight in the second period, and for some reason, that was what sparked San Jose. And my favorite part of that is that right as that fight with Goody comes over to the bench, you can see Mackenzie Blackwood behind him saying, punch him, punch him. I just thought that's just the most obvious and perfect thing for somebody to be saying on the bench. And I love that they got footage of that during the fight. But, you know, you can see that Mackenzie's not even playing in the game. He's fired up in that moment. I think that tells you that those fights, sometimes we think it's a little bit contrived. I think when we're watching, we're like, oh, he gets in a fight. Here you go. He'll have, you know, a couple of punches. He'll go to the box. He'll take himself out of the game for a bit. But, hey, he got his fight. But, no, I think sometimes you see a veteran guy go and tussle and get into somebody's face. It can overall spark the team to do something more in that instance. And I can't say that, you know, it's 100% a direct result, but the Sharks did start playing better. The fight between Goody and Nick Seeler happened at 12:09 of the second period. And then if we look at the goal scoring summary, Jack Thompson scores at 15:29, just a few minutes later. And then Mikael Granlund scores just a few minutes after that at 18:33. So you're looking at a 3-0 deficit at 5:09 into the second period. Then 7 minutes after that, roughly, Goody gets into a fight, and then you've got Jack Thompson scoring a few minutes after that, and Mikael Granlund scoring a few minutes after that, and the Sharks suddenly breathe life into their game. And I think that is a huge, huge moment for San Jose. They were able to take advantage of whatever slight momentum they had in the game. They scratched and clawed their way back into it, and they were able to give themselves a chance to walk away with not just a point out of this game, which they did get, but they also had a chance to win. And I think that is, most importantly, the best aspect of this game. You are dissatisfied with just walking away with a point out of this. I'm not going to deny it, but you also have to acknowledge, hey, they did a good job to get themselves a point out of this game. They were down 3-0. They were dead in the water for the first 35 minutes of the game. They found a way to get back into it. They found a way to give themselves a spark. That's a team effort to walk away with 3 out of the first 4 points of the road trip. And now they've got a little bit of momentum going into 2 games, one against the Rangers, which is going to be a difficult game and a difficult circumstance. And then they go into the Penguins game, which I think is another good chance for the San Jose Sharks to walk away with another win. So they have a chance, obviously, to get still 3 out of 4 wins on this road trip if they beat the Rangers and the Pens. But I think you're just looking at the overall trend of the team, and do they continue to play better? Yes. Do they continue to give themselves a chance in games? Yes. What is the main issue right now? That continues to be the offense, in my mind, in which last night they did not do what they needed to do in terms of the power play. Once again, they had opportunities. They had moments where they were going to be able to score on the power play, and they didn't. Earlier in the game, when they had their chances, they did not get a power play goal. You look at the first period, Philadelphia draws a too many men. They fail to convert. You look at the third period. They have Bobby Brink about halfway through the period draw a tripping penalty. They fail to convert. And then in the most critical situation, Matvei Michkov is called for roughing against Macklin Celebrini. And the Sharks go into the overtime period and on a power play. And to me, that should be where the game ends. Like, if you're going to be that next level team in the NHL, and I don't mean next level as in like a great team, but if you're going to make that conversion to being just a mid-tier team in the NHL, of which the Sharks are not as of yet, you've got to win that game. You have an overtime situation on the road with a power play. That's got to be a win. There has to be no other acceptable outcome. And right now, the Sharks' power play is just floundering. 1 out of their last 25 now, and that is not going to get it done. Now, the penalty kill continues to play well. I think that there's no doubt about that. Yes, they did give up a power play goal last night, but overall, I think that the Sharks, you have to be relatively pleased with the way they've been able to play. But last night, on the other side of that, you lost the special teams battle, and in conjunction with the slow start, in conjunction with getting down 3-0 and, you know, having to fight and claw your way back into the game, you can't go with an early deficit and lose the special teams battle and have a game go to overtime and expect to walk away with the win, especially when you have that power play opportunity at the start of the overtime period. I mean, that's just got to be a foregone conclusion that, oh, we have the man advantage, we're going to win. Now, I do think there were some circumstances in last night's game where the power play did look better than it has as of late. And I think that with Macklin Celebrini out there, the power play and the offense looks better overall. I don't think that's some sort of magic takeaway that I have, but it's hard not to notice that they do look a little bit more controlled, and they're able to cycle the puck a little bit better, and they're able to maintain the offensive zone a little bit better when they are on the power play with Macklin out there. I don't think that's too wild of a take or too unexpected of an outcome once Macklin got back into the lineup, but the power play continues to falter, and so that has to be a point of emphasis right now. And I don't know what exactly the specific answer is, and sometimes you just have to work your way through a bad stretch, but it's not like the Sharks have previously been an elite power play team. I think right now the Sharks' power play is an area of weakness that in a game like last night was potentially the difference from them walking away with 2 points as opposed to one. And, you know, you have had some games where you've taken too many penalties. The Sharks have mostly cleared that up from their game. Earlier, we saw the issues with the early deficits, and yes, they did have a deficit last night. It's relatively understandable, being as how they were on the second night of a back-to-back. But I also look at the fact that they were able to manage that early deficit and get themselves back into the game. The last 2 games, they've been down big early against Utah, and then last night against Philadelphia, they've been able to stop the bleeding and get themselves back into it before the game gets out of reach. I think that is something that you have to be relatively pleased with, even if, of course, you don't want to get down early, but the Sharks are at least doing a better job of understanding how to respond to those situations and get themselves back into the game. So the penalties have been cut down on. You have been able to improve yourself when it comes to the slow starts not happening as often, and if they do, you know how to get back into a game. But the opportunistic nature of San Jose on the power play has simply not been there as of late. You can talk about them holding on for a 1-0 win. You can talk about them being able to get wins at home. You can talk about them being able to have comeback wins. But if you're going to have the next level of improvement to make these things happen more consistently, you've got to be able to click on both sides of the special teams battle. The penalty kill's been good as of late. You know, they're not going to stop them all. They gave up a goal last night to Philadelphia. Okay, that's how it goes. But the fact that they are consistently or lately coming up short on the power play is relatively problematic. And again, a big reason why they didn't walk away with 2 points out of last night's game. And I think that's just got to be part of the mentality. You've got to feel like if you have a power play on the road in the overtime period, you win that game. It's not a matter of when or if, it's a matter of you are doing it. And I don't think that mentality was there last night, and I don't think that mentality is there with the team as of yet. In terms of mentality development, we are watching a Jack Thompson turn into a decent player in the NHL, and I continue to like his game. It's not just about the scoring. He has 2 goals and 3 assists up at this point, 5 points on the year, but he is continuing to impact games in the sense that he is not making critical mistakes. And I think that for a young defenseman, watching him not make these critical mistakes, watching him be in the right place at the right time, watching him be able to handle and manage game situations, I think that is a big step forward for him. And for the Sharks, this has been a great addition to the squad for the time being. We all know that there are good players in the wings, like a Shakir Mukhmadulin. We know that Marc-Edward Vlasic continues to rehab from injury. But right now, Jack Thompson is making the most of his own ability out there on the ice. And I think he's showing that he can play at the NHL level and showing the Sharks that maybe he's a little bit better than they thought he would be. And that's exactly the type of growth that you want to see. And I also think it speaks to the organizational overall, you know, depth and their ability to foster and create that competitive environment. We see it with the D-men right now, because everybody knows that waiting in the wings is a Marc-Edward Vlasic, who of course is one of the all-time veterans for the San Jose Sharks. And he's continuing to work his way back. And I imagine he will be back at some point. And then you've also got Shakir Mukhmadulin, a big part of the Timo Meier trade, who is getting himself back into, you know, his form early in his season after he was injured for much of the start of the season. But that's exactly the type of influence that you need. You need these guys to understand that there are good players waiting in the wings, and there are good players that have the potential to take your spot. So while you're up here, you better show us what you can do. And I think that by contributing offensively, that's a huge part of Jack Thompson's game. And he just looks solid defensively and is not making the critical errors. He's not sinking the ship. And I think that oftentimes when young D-men do get their opportunity to come up, they get a little bit overwhelmed, and that's not what's happening right now. He is making the most of his opportunity. You look at his career previously, he had played 1 game with Tampa Bay and 2 games in the NHL with San Jose entering this season. Now he's played 10 games. He's got 5 points, and that is a huge step for him. So this is a kid who's played 13 games in his NHL career, and he is not looking like a 13-game NHL veteran. He's just looking like an NHL player. And for him to be doing that at this point, continue to grow. That's what I want to see. If you're this good right now, what more can you do as you go forward? And I think that organizational depth argument continues to be an issue when we talk about, you know, the goalies as well. And I don't mean an issue in a bad way. I mean an issue in a good way. You have watched Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood go back and forth as of late with some really, really good starts. You had a 49 save appearance from Vitek Vanacek. You had a 44 save appearance from Mackenzie Blackwood. The Sharks have been winning more games as of late. The goalies have not been the issue in any losses as of late, nor have they really been the issue in any losses this year. I'm sure there's some goals that they want back, but you just look overall at last night's game with Vitek Vanacek. He faces an odd man rush early on in the game, put in an awful situation. The third goal that was scored was a breakaway where he's put one-on-one, and maybe you can ask that he makes the stop there. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. And then the other goal that was given up was a power play goal. So you've had 2 bad situations that your goalie was put in and a power play. Yeah, that's not going to be something that I'm going to get too worked up out of last night's game. For the rest of the game, when Vitek Vanacek was called upon as the Sharks worked their way back into the game, he was really, really good. I guess you can make the claim that he didn't make the stops in the shootout. I'm never going to take umbrage with a player in a shootout because shootouts are ridiculous. If you hear me on NBC, every time the Sharks go to a shootout, I can't stand them. They have nothing to do with the game we just saw. I'd rather they bring back ties. Anyway, but Vitek Vanacek was not the issue last night. Vitek Vanacek gave the Sharks a chance to get back into that game once they got their game rolling, and so I give him credit. Like I said, odd man rush, breakaway, power play. Those are not instances where I'm going to get too upset at the goalie. Sure, you would have loved it if he could stop it, but I'm not looking at him. when you look at that performance on the heels of Mackenzie Blackwood's remarkable performance, it's A, these guys pushing each other, and you know that there is a player like Yaroslav Askarov waiting in the wings. At some point, somebody is going to get hurt. That is the nature of the NHL, and that's how guys get their opportunity. It was Macklin Celebrini getting hurt early on that saw Jack Thompson recalled to San Jose. And so he's making the most of his opportunity. And while I do not want Vitek Vanacek or Mackenzie Blackwood to get hurt, I just have to imagine that that is going to be what happens and how Yaroslav Askarov gets his chance. If not, and we have to wait all the way to the deadline to see him because somebody's going to be traded, which, you know, I think there's always a chance to happen, and then we'll see him. But the point is we'll see him eventually. And both Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek know that there is a player that Mike Greer traded significant assets to acquire, and they know that he's one of the top-regarded goalie prospects in all of the NHL. So they know that they've got to be good. They know that they've got to play their best game, and if they continue to do so, the reward is the continuation of play, a better contract in the future, or potentially a trade at the deadline to a team that is going to be in a contending spot. Not that either of these guys are in a hurry to get out of here, but you know, that is part of the overall narrative that we're looking at with regard to the San Jose goalie situation. And I think it's interesting to note that these guys are pushing themselves. And, you know, I've just done the last five Barracuda broadcasts, and I've gotten to see multiple starts from Yaroslav Askarov, and he is the real deal. I watch him make these saves and snap back into position and put the puck back in play. You know, he just has a swagger. There's a little bit unintangible aspect to his overall persona, and I think that the future is very, very bright for him, and I think that that is being conveyed across the NHL and definitely up to the Sharks, where there are two very good goalies in San Jose right now who understand that the pressure is on to be their best selves. So, yeah, I don't have an issue with it, and I think that that can extend to the group of forwards as well. We've talked about, you know, the D-man and the goalies, but Colin Graf is playing absolutely phenomenal hockey right now with the Barracuda. He is going to be a very, very good NHL player. Watching him get these opportunities is fun. You go beyond him and you look at, you know, some of the guys that are also there, you know, the future of an Ethan Cardwell, who we just got a brief look at. And then you start talking about, you know, D-men that are going to be challenged like Luca Cagnoni. He's going to be pushing for a spot, you know, sooner rather than later. So, you know, right now the organizational competition is something that I think is fun to watch and elevating everyone's game. It hasn't been there, but that's a credit to Mike Greer and the way that he's reworked the Sharks overall depth charts in terms of, you know, the farm system up to the top team. Right now, the Sharks have gone from, you know, at the end of the Doug Wilson era to having one of the worst prospect systems in the NHL to now having ranked by everyone top five, if not number one. That's a plan that was, you know, controlled by trading assets and making things happen. But San Jose right now is in a position to continue to upgrade and continue to add aspects and continue to make themselves into a better organization across the board. Again, there were tough decisions to be made along the way and players that were traded, but it's working out in the sense that guys at the top team know that the guys at the level beneath them are pushing for their spots. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. It was Philadelphia striking first and striking early.
Ruda chips in back behind the goal line. Now it's Goodrow putting the hit on his man, but the Flyers pick back up. They will try to clear it out. Little collision there. Ruda got together. Flyers on the attack, 2-on-1. They move in, and they score! Ruda got caught on the pinch. That turned into a 2-on-1 for Philadelphia, and Anthony Richard sends it across the ice, and Eric Johnson, the veteran defenseman, is able to bang it past goaltender Vanacek. Flyers 1, Sharks nothing at 1:40 of the first.
And how about the fact that right after that, Johnson finds himself getting into a brawl with Giovanni Smith?
Yeah, now we got a fight on the ice right off the faceoff. Giovanni Smith has just dropped the gloves with Eric Johnson, the goal scorer. How about this?
Looking for the Gordie Howe early. Oh, wow.
Johnson's holding up pretty well here. He's a veteran player, but Giovanni Smith coming right after him. And now it's a left by Smith, and now a right by Smith, and down goes Johnson. But you got to give Johnson some credit. He held up well against a pretty tough customer.
Again, it is not the be-all, end-all to get into a fight, but it did feel like Giovanni Smith was trying to say, hey, we are not going to go down early. We are going to engage ourselves in the game. And I know that the Sharks would go down by another goal shortly thereafter, but it's still indicative of the fact that they were trying to stop the bleeding right away. And it will not get as much credit as the Barclay-Goodrow fight, but it is San Jose giving themselves just a little bit of a emotional bluster and bravado of saying, nope, we're going to try and engage ourselves. We're down early. We're on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. Let's try and make something happen. It didn't work immediately, but I do think it was indicative of where the Sharks' mindset was going to be despite the early concessions of goals.
Here's Tippett backhanding it to Andre. Takes it back near side. Back off the boards to Andre. Back to the near side to Tippett. Walks into the circle, dropped it back to Andre. Feeds right circle, fed to the front, they score! Travis Konecny in the high-low high play. What a perfect pass right on the tape. And Konecny scores on the power play to make it 2-0 Flyers.
And at this point, the Sharks looked every bit the team that was on the second night of a back-to-back with tired legs. They were not making crisp passes. They were not controlling the puck. They were not getting extended ozone time. They were not looking like they were engaged the way they needed to be, which, again, is relatively understandable if you're going to have a situation where you get down early in a game. If it's on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, I'm not going to lose my mind over that. But at this point, you just started to wonder about how they were going to respond and what was going to be the catalyst for them to get into the game, and it wasn't even at its worst yet. Now, I give credit because when it's 2-0, the game can still get a lot worse, and they seem to have decent response, but Philadelphia kept on pushing the issue, and suddenly on a breakaway, it's 3-0. But this is where things get interesting because Barclay Goodrow kind of gets pushed into a fight, literally and figuratively, and then suddenly he's brawling, and this apparently fires up the Sharks.
Barclay Goodrow is in ill humor after that whistle with Nick Seeler. They're ready to fight. Goodrow against Nick Seeler, and they started at the circle to the left of the goal, and they're already all the way back of the Sharks bench, and these two guys are going toe-to-toe at it. Barclay Goodrow for the Sharks and Nick Seeler for Philadelphia, and they're even gabbing at each other as they continue to wrestle it out. Now a couple of hard hits. Barclay Goodrow got one right, another right there by Seeler. Goodrow holding him off, looking to get his arm free. It's right up against the Sharks bench, and they get separated by the linesman. And you know they love that here in Philadelphia whenever fisticuffs break out.
We know Ruzy loves calling a fight, and we know that this was somewhat of a catalyst for San Jose because suddenly they started to get themselves back into the game, and it starts with Jack Thompson off the boot.
Zetterlund across the line, gets tripped up, should be a penalty, no call, and the Flyers come back the other way, down the right side to Tippett. Back-checking Eklund. That's a good play on Bobby Brink. Not only did he poke it out of his control, he bodied him to the ice, and here's Eklund carrying down the left for the Sharks. Into the zone, centering play, they score! That's off of Jack Thompson! Are they going to call it back for kicking the puck in the net? We shall see, but right now, the Sharks are hoping that the call goes their way.
It did go their way. Jack Thompson gets his second goal, and San Jose is suddenly in the game. Life has been breathed into the team. They're down 3-1. Then, Mikhail Granlund, he would strike to make it 3-2.
It's Granlund, Eklund, and Zetterlund, and off the faceoff, Granlund wins it. Eklund carries behind the net, behind the back pass. Here comes Granlund, the shot, score! What a play by William Eklund, carrying behind the net and reversing it over to Mikhail Granlund. A set play, really, from this line's perspective, and Granlund makes it a one-goal game with a spectacular goal. It's 3-2 Philadelphia now with a minute 27 left in the period.
So 5:09 into the second, the Sharks are down 3-0. And then with just about 90 seconds remaining in the second period, it's a 3-2 game. The Sharks have given themselves the opportunity. And from this point on, you knew it was going to be a fight. You knew it was going to be a battle, but they'd given themselves a shot. And to me, that was the most important thing. Give themselves a shot and see where it goes from there. They've done what I've asked. And suddenly the Sharks were in a fight to the finish. The third period was not the most beautiful hockey we've ever seen, but the Sharks did not concede. Vitek Vanacek came up with some big saves, and they were getting outshot. I mean, this is something the Sharks need to work on. They are giving up a shot volume that is going to be putting them in a bad situation game after game after game right now. It's something they need to rectify. That's the latest one of their mistakes that they need to, or not mistakes, but issues that they need to figure out how they're going to cut down on the shot volume they're allowing. They need to be better on the power play. Penalty kill's been good, but they need to be better in terms of the shot volume that they're allowing. But they did keep it a one-goal deficit, and then Barclay Goodrow, when he had his opportunity, he struck.
Dropped it back to Wennberg. He's protecting it against Tippett there in the corner, but Tippett fighting for it pretty hard. Wennberg worked it free, sent back to the point by Goodrow to CeCe to Thrawn toward the front of the net. Score! Barclay Goodrow, side of the net, jams it home. What a job by the Sharks to keep the puck in play, and it's sent toward the front of the net. This game is tied 3-3. Barkley Goodrow with his first goal since opening game against St. Louis, and what a goal it is against the Flyers.
Now, immediately I was thinking about the Saturday night game two Saturdays ago against Vancouver, in which San Jose scored a late goal, looked like they were going to get themselves at least a point, only to concede late in the game with about 20 seconds remaining and did not walk away with the chance at overtime or the chance to win. That was my immediate concern of, okay, we saw this situation recently. Are they going to be able to handle it better? Are they going to give themselves a chance? And ultimately they did. And I think that deserves a lot of credit. That deserves a lot of praise, because we didn't know if that was going to be the situation, but they did take advantage. They did give themselves that opportunity to get a point. They carried it through to the overtime. That was when the power play failed them, and that's something they need to work on. The power play has to be better. That is not up for debate at this point. That's just where things are. The power play did not convert when they had the opportunity in the overtime period. That is the difference between them being a average to good team in the NHL as to where they are right now. If they can improve upon that, then they'll give themselves a better chance going forward. But right now, that was a main issue. We go to the shootout, and yeah, this was Philadelphia. They've got home advantage, wind in their sails with the crowd getting fired up for their attempts, and the Sharks have not been good on the shootout in recent memory at all, and this one goes to Philadelphia.
Now the pressure's on Vitek Vanacek to keep the Sharks alive. Travis Konechny, who should have a hat trick in this game but only has one because he missed two very easy goals, is now coming in to try to clinch it for the Flyers. He stick handles in slowly, deliberately, deeks, waits, shoots. Oh, he scored. What a goal.
And that was it. San Jose walks away with just a point. They had their opportunity in overtime on the power play. They could not take advantage. It goes to a shootout. They fall by a final of 4-3. It was a good effort for San Jose, and I think shows how far they've come in a very short amount of time. They are 5-2-1 now in their last eight games. They are collecting points more often than they are not. They are a far cry from where they were at the start of the season. They're 5-9-3 now on the year. And we look at where other teams are in the NHL right now. Anaheim only has 12 points on the year. They're back of the Sharks. Nashville only has 12 points on the year. They're back of San Jose. Columbus only has 12 points on the year. They're back of San Jose. Montreal only has 12 points on the year. They're back of San Jose. Detroit also has 13. You look at Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, they're only 1 point in front of San Jose. You look at where the Kraken are, they're tied in points with San Jose, and Edmonton's only 2 points in front of San Jose. So, you know, right now we are watching the Sharks give themselves more of the desire and drive and fight that it takes to win games in the NHL. They're not going to be a playoff team this year, I don't think. I suppose anything can happen, but, you know, we just look at where they were with an 0-7-2 start to where they are now, giving themselves the opportunity to win the majority of games that they've been in. The only one that really got away from them as of late is the Minnesota one. But you know, we look at San Jose, they are 13 points now on the year, and that's only 3 points back of the Avalanche for the second wild card in the West. Obviously, it's early. Obviously, San Jose, we don't think about them being a playoff team this year. But again, it's indicative of the growth they've shown in a very short amount of time. And I think it's something that we're seeing more often than not. They're giving themselves an opportunity. And now they get a real big test in the game against the Rangers, because we do know that the Rangers right now, they are not great in terms of their record, 6-6-3, but they're going to be fine. The Rangers are going to be absolutely fine as this year goes on. And San Jose's got a big test to see how they do against a very good team. But overall, the Sharks continue to play a better brand of hockey. They are looking like a better team. They are not at the bottom of the league, which is a step in the right direction. And again, we are watching them get better week after week, game after game. It is not supposed to be a linear progression. There are going to be steps forward and there are going to be steps back. But right now, the Sharks are in the midst of a stretch of which they are taking steps forward. Since the 28th of October, they are 5-2-1. And one of the two regulation losses they had, the one against Vancouver, that was a game they should have gotten a point out of. And in a very similar situation last night, they rectified what cost them a point and were able to earn a point. So again, the steps in the right direction continue. And now we get to see them on the remainder of this road trip, which I'm excited for. I want to see what they do against the Rangers on Thursday. And then I want to see what they do in the final game of the road trip against the Pens. Right now, they've got 3 out of a possible 4 points. That is a good place for San Jose to be. And I'm curious as to what comes next. All right, we are all out of time. I will see you all as we get ready for the Rangers on Thursday. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi End.